This episode is brought to you by Rockstar Energy Drink. Be honest, are you procrastinating by listening to this podcast? It's okay. You just need Rockstar Focus. Choose from three delicious flavors, each crafted with ingredients for an ideal energy and mental boost, like Lion's Mane, 200 milligrams of caffeine, and zero sugar. Visit rockstarenergy.com to learn more. At least 75 milligrams of caffeine has been shown to help improve attention.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Hey, I'm Alan Sepinwall. I'm the chief TV critic for Rolling Stone, which is a fancy way of saying that I watch TV for a living. But there are so many TV shows being made now that even I can't watch all the ones I want to. But what if you didn't have to binge an entire series? What if you just looked at the very first episode of a show you'd never seen, and then the very last? Would you feel like you'd gotten the complete experience, or would you be completely lost at the end? Well, there's only one way to find out. Welcome to a new episode of Too Long, Didn't Watch. As our guest today, we are very fortunate to have with us Jon Hamm, winner of countless awards for playing Don Draper on Mad Men, scene-stealing guest star on 30 Rock, Curb Your Enthusiasm, and Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, actor in such films as Million Dollar Arm, Baby Driver, Bridesmaids, The Report, and many more, and most importantly, St. Louis Blues fan number one. Jon, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me, Alan. Here we are.
So, Jon, what are we going to watch today?
I think we're going to watch a little phenomenon. I'm not even going to call it a show. It was a phenomenon called Gossip Girl, which I believe aired on the CW, but a lot of friends of mine were fans of it. It was just one of those shows that I feel like I was a little aged out of by the time it came out, but I knew enough people that were very into it and swore by it. And then, of course, I worked with some of the people that worked on the show. And I probably lied to them at the time and said, I love your show and how great it was. But I've never seen a lick of the show. It was during a time where I was already working. So unlike a lot of shows that I've never seen, I also didn't audition for it.
One of the things that's always struck me in my conversations with you is a lot of people in your profession, they do not watch a lot of TV either because they don't have time or it just doesn't interest them. You watch basically enough to be a TV critic yourself.
I do like watching TV. I look at it like if you're an athlete or if you play football, it's like, why wouldn't you look at tape of the other teams, you know, to see what they're doing and to see how you can maybe get better at what you do. And also, I just find it tremendously enjoyable, I think, especially now. And I think you can attest to this, having been there for the big bang of it all, so to speak, of the golden age of television. I just think that you're missing out on a lot of cool, interesting stuff, whether it's what have I been watching recently? The Outsider, thought was really good. We were just talking about Dave. There's just so much good, weird, interesting out there stuff. So why not give it a whirl?
So you already said you felt a little bit aged out of Gossip Girl. What, if anything, did you know about it at the time when it was on?
Well, I knew it was like a New York City kind of baby Sex in the City for high school kids, kind of Melrose Place redo, but in New York in private school. I kind of had the template. I kind of figured, okay, I get what this is.
Yeah.
It's a cool soap opera where everybody's young and dresses in fashionable ways. And it's very aspirational for a certain set of the youths. But beyond that, I didn't really know the ins and outs of it other than the blonde girl was sleeping with the other guy's girl and the girl that had the other girl was in trouble with the other girl. That was what I knew, because there was a lot of gossip.
Yes. And then eventually you and the blonde girl, Blake Lively, you were in the town together around midway through the run of the show. Did Gossip Girl come up much at that time?
Well, we did not have very many scenes together, Blake and I. We had met, I think, at like an Emmys or something, because Mad Men had won, I think, that year. But no, we talked about it. You know, we talked about how different it is shooting TV over film. You know, she was kind of like, how many pages a day do you do? And I was like, well, we do a lot. We kind of got to move through a lot of script and we don't have a lot of money and we're a basic cable show. So she was like, yeah, we do a lot too. This is crazy. This movie stuff is so slow. Like we don't, and I said, yeah, I mean, that's the movies. Like you only kind of get one shot at it. It's, you don't get to tell a different version of the story next week, you know? So it was an interesting thing to like watch somebody else kind of go through that too.
For those who don't know, Gossip Girl ran for 6 seasons on the CW. It was based on a series of YA novels by Cecily Von Ziegler and adapted by the OC producers Josh Schwartz and Stephanie Savage. It chronicled the lives of a group of fabulously wealthy Upper East Siders from high school into their early 20s and was one of the first TV series to be about social media while also using social media to promote itself.
Wow. See, I had no idea that was a whole thing.
Yeah,
social media was around when...
Yeah,
I mean, I guess Twitter was 2007.
Yeah, so Twitter kind of existed, but just, you know, being on blogs, doing online things, also sort of leaning into... They leaned into the backlash in a way that you see a lot more now. So they would do these ads featuring negative review pull quotes.
Right.
Sort of saying like, this show is...
XOXO. I remember that ad campaign. It was very effective.
Yeah, exactly. You know, don't let your children watch
exactly.
This.
Exactly. Clever. CWs. Yeah.
It debuted back in September of 2007. Other new shows that premiered that month included The Big Bang Theory, Chuck, and Pushing Daisies. Mad Men was finishing its first season, but oddly, it took that week off. Like, in between...
We didn't want to mess with the juggernaut that was Gossip Girl.
But if you wanted a show featuring attractive New Yorkers and a future star of the town and Mad Men was off, you could watch Gossip Girl.
Pivot.
Exactly. So let's take a look and see what happens.
And who am I? That's not a secret I'll never tell. You know you love me. XOXO. Gossip Girl.
Hey, Upper East Siders. Gossip Girl here.
So now there was a big, like,
have the biggest news
thing about who's the voice of that narrator, right? Of the Gossip Girl?
Yo, I mean, it's Kristen Bell's voice.
Oh, it is Kristen Bell's voice.
Yes.
Serena looked effing hot last night.
You are deeply disturbed.
You're telling me if you had the chance...
I have a girlfriend.
The guy's been dating since kindergarten and you haven't sealed the deal.
People date in kindergarten?
I've been thinking, that doesn't seem really healthy.
It doesn't seem right.
Spotted on the steps of the Met, an S and B power struggle.
Did we know they had history?
This is the first we are hearing about it.
There's nothing Gossip Girl likes more than a good cat fight. And this could be a classic.
Better not show her face again.
I'm actually hoping she will.
Spotted. Serena making a heroic exit from Bee's party.
I feel like she does like parties.
Too bad for her.
Sure.
Her school on
That's
Monday.
Where she gets all the best gossip.
So
right.
Next time, you know you love me. Gossip Girl.
It would be a very cool choice if they decided that was it. She does not show up for the rest of the series.
No more Gossip Girl?
No. The Serena character. It's like, she better not show her face again. And she doesn't. Just doesn't. She like moves to Brooklyn, changes schools. She's like, you know what? I'm kind of finished with this. I'm not down with this whole scene. There's an active sexual predator in our midst that no one seems to be doing anything about. And I'm out. But I have a feeling that's not how it happens.
No, but we'll find out more about that. So what just happened? What did you just see?
I thought it was a pretty good pilot. It reminded me a lot of Beverly Hills 90210 and like all these other, you know, high school shows that came into existence over various periods of time. It was a great sense of like time and place as soon as they started with the Peter, Bjorn, and John song or whatever that song was that you're like, okay, I get it. This is 2000, mid-2000, whatevers. I'm assuming the central thrust of the next 6 seasons is the Serena-Blair dynamic because it felt very nebulous in the pilot. As to what happened, so which I thought was a good choice. I thought it was an interesting way to go about saying, okay, there's history here. The line, they've dated since kindergarten, still makes me laugh. But yeah, so I think that there certainly seems, you know, you've got a good baddie in the Ed Westwick character. You've got a lot of room for the freshman to grow and figure it all out. The narration is weird and cloying in some ways because it's so omniscient.
yeah,
in a way that it seems impossible, but I get that that's the trope of the thing. So it's like, all right, if like, you know, that's the dream of being in high school is to have an omniscient narrator that can always tell you everything that's going on.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of, obviously it's like a pretty cool wish fulfillment for that age of kids that were watching. And I'm assuming, you know, all these kids are in their 20s, but the show was pitched for like 14-year-olds, I'm assuming.
Yeah. All right, so let's take a step back for a second. Just for the benefit of the people who did not just get to watch this episode with us, how would you break it down simply in terms of what happened and who the characters
were? So the Blake Lively character, Serena Vanderwoof?
Woodson.
Woodson. Vander Woodson. Isn't there a TV critic named Vanderwoof?
Vanderwerf, Emily.
Okay, see? Worlds are colliding. So exciting. So she comes back from a hiatus of sorts that is mysterious. She comes back on the day before the first day of school. There's a party. I'm going to say they're seniors?
They're juniors.
They're juniors. Okay. So we haven't even seen the senior class.
No.
And yet, in the only high school in the world, the juniors apparently run everything in this high school.
Well, because you got to get at least two seasons out of them being in high school. I was going to say,
otherwise, that's a very long year of high school. So, the Gossip Girl, who I guess runs a website that details the goings-on of just this school?
Seems to be just this school.
Okay. It seems very specific. I don't know how she's going to drive clicks and revenue, but okay.
The media ecosystem was very different in 2007 from how it is now. Very
different, but not that different. You could tell, like, the dependence on phones was very interesting to see, even though there were, like, old sidekicks and, like, weird versions of phones. The MySpace line obviously doesn't age very well, and they take the bus to the fancy school that they all go to because they have to wear ties. And that's where he overhears Chuck and
Nate. Whose full name is Nate Archibald.
Nathaniel Archibald.
Yep. Which, as a sports fan, you know, Hall of Fame point guard.
Oh, yeah, he's a basketball player. Of course, that's interesting. I wonder if that's on purpose. Must have been.
A lot of crossover between YA fans. Did he play for the Knicks? No, I think he played for the Celtics.
Tiny Archibald,
yeah.
Well, I don't think he wants that nickname. But anyways, there's a lot of catty behavior. Is that Taylor Momsen?
Taylor Momsen, yeah. She was actually the most famous person in the cast going into it because she had been Cindy Lou Who in How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, right on. And I think she's also from St. Louis. Dan's younger sister, she gets ingratiated into the Queen Bee's little thrall by doing some calligraphy for the invitations to the weirdly titled Kiss on the Mouth.
Kiss on the Lips.
Kiss on the Lips party.
That's a black tie event for high school juniors.
Black tie event, open bar, for high school juniors only, or I guess freshmen also. And apparently fully co-signed by all of the parents.
Yes.
It was very weird. The unwavering, unblinking attitude toward completely public consumption of alcohol by teenagers was looked at a little askance. Because, I mean, we all drank when we were in high school. It was like a thing. But you had to sneak it hard. Yeah. Couldn't go to a venue with all of your friends and rent it out at 17 and be like, yeah, we're going to need a full bar and bartenders and everything. And like, that would just pay for it. Or I'm just going to go to the Palace Hotel and sit at the bar and have 9 martinis and not get carded. That seems very strange. Anyway, the kiss on the mouth party happens. She drops her phone. He grabs her phone. He goes to return it the next day. Like, there's a lot of attitude being thrown toward Dan. It's like, hey, man, I'm literally bringing a phone back that I found. I don't know why you have to give me so much attitude. She doesn't want to go to the kiss on the lips party. She fakes a date with Dan, who agrees. They go to see Dan's dad's band play.
Lincoln Hawk. Does that name ring a bell, by the way?
Well, it sounds like Linkin Park.
It's actually the name of Sylvester Stallone's character in Over the Top, the greatest arm wrestling movie ever made. There you
go. I think the only arm wrestling movie ever made. Was there another one?
Possibly not, but look, you got to give it something.
I think I saw that in the movie theaters in the 70s. I remember thinking, like, how is he going to follow up Rocky? Well, this is it. And it's got to be. It is not good. But Lincoln Hawk, good to know. Oh, there was a whole weird crossover flashback thing that was very weird, too, where both couples were flashing back at the same time.
Nate is telling Blair about how he and Serena slept together, while Chuck is telling Serena how he watched them sleep together.
Right. That was very weird from a, like, temporal timeline cross. That felt like a very convenient device to be like, wait, they're both telling the same story in completely different places and completely different things. But anyways, yeah, that happened.
Yeah.
And I don't even want to say what's going to happen episode two, but the last line is, she better not show her face again, said by Blair Waldorf. And then Chuck Bass says, I really hope she does. So I think she is going to show her face again, probably as soon as episode two.
I can spoil that much, that she does appear in episode two.
I have a feeling, yes, that face will be shown, but there will be consequence.
So do you find yourself like rooting for one side or the other? Are you Team Serena or Team Blair, for instance?
Well, it's interesting. I think what they didn't do as well as some of the other versions of this show do is they kind of, in the pilot at least, and I bet over the course of the series, it gets a little more nuanced, but they painted it with a pretty heavy brush. We have the setup of the good guys, the downtown family, the rock and roller, wrong side of the tracks kid who didn't do anything wrong. And then we have kind of the uptown guys like Chuck, who are just, you know, pure evil. And maybe Serena a little has that as well. There's some Machiavellian machinations in there. And then the Nate and Serena. Nate and Blake Lively are the two who are kind of at cross purposes. You can see that Nate's dealing with his dad, who's trying to push him into some weird business venture, which feels really weird. And Serena with the mom has a lot of baggage that she seems to be improperly medicating, let's say.
Yeah.
But so I think that it's a good setup for the pieces are on the chessboard, so to speak, and it's a good setup to see, like, okay, how are all of these people going to behave, and will they behave true to the character that they've established in the pilot, or will they evolve over the course of a season?
All right. So before you speculated that you think the bulk of the series is going to deal with the rivalry between Serena and Blair, where do you think some of these other relationships might wind up going?
If I'm to use my television experience over the course of my life, it's like if you have six hot young people, they're all going to end up sleeping with each other eventually. Like that's you look over the course of Melrose Place and Friends and everything, they all trade eventually because you just have, you've got, you know, 200 episodes to fill.
So yes.
They're going to have to do something. If I had to guess, I would say that all of them eventually will either heel turn or do a turn against their established character. For example, I think there will most likely be a point at which in the series Chuck does a nice thing to somebody.
Okay.
I will think that there would be a moment in which the wrong side of the track Dan, nice guy, does something wrong, slips into the wrong embrace or something because he gets his priorities confused. And I think that'll work out for every other person. I think eventually the sort of wide-eyed young Cindy Lou Who will turn into like a proto mean girl a la Blair. I keep getting the name.
Names
are really hard to keep straight. So I think that over the course of this, I'm excited. I'm sort of excited to see how, first of all, everybody ages, but second of all, because the makeup on this show is intense.
Yeah.
When Serena and Blair have their little tete-a-tete at the bar where they're both publicly drinking, they're both in such heavy makeup, and then they kiss, they hug, and I'm like, oh, girl, you're going to get that all over your jacket. Like, rule number one, like, don't let her lean in on you because you got a whole smudge now. But I guess they have people to take care of that.
All right. Based on this episode alone, would you guess that Gossip Girl is secretly any of the characters you just saw? And if so, who?
Oh, maybe that was the thing that I had heard about it. Based on this episode, no.
Okay.
Based on this episode, I would, no. I'm still kind of confused as to whether the Gossip Girl, the Kristen Bell voice, is a person or an amalgam. I guess I was thinking that, oh, that's like, remember Nikki Fink?
Yes.
Like the Nikki Fink, who I guess was a real person, but always felt like she had like little Nikki Finks everywhere that were Nikki Finking her back.
And yeah, and then she could say, told ya.
Right, exactly.
So you said before, like, because you already cast in Mad Men, this is not a show you went out to read for, but I can imagine a different timeline where they had you in for Rufus, the rocker dad.
Oh yeah, for sure. I would have been a dad in this, which is hilarious because I would have been maybe 12 years older than any of the teens. I did audition for one of the dads in the OC.
Wow.
Which was a show that was on 5 years before this show.
Yes.
So I was probably 31 or 32. I think it was me and Harry Hamlin, and who was the guy that ended up getting it?
Tate Donovan?
No, it wasn't Tate.
It wasn't Peter Gallagher.
Gallagher? No, he was. It was me.
You read for Sandy Cohen?
I know.
What?
Peter Gallagher was.
Oh my God!
I remember walking in and being like, is that Peter Gallagher? And then we're like, why am I here? I love Peter Gallagher, but I was just like, dang.
I'm trying to imagine the OC with you as Sandy. Oh, man. Oh my God.
I
may not be able to get through the rest of the day. I'm just going to be thinking about this.
Well, I didn't get it. That's just not surprising. But I was always one of those people that fell in between like the two cracks. Like, I never looked young enough to be in high school, even when I first got out here when I was 25. So, like, I missed out on all of the Dawson's Creek and all of the early, early, like, WB shows. So then they were like, well, then you maybe come in and play one of the dads. And I'm like, well, I don't look like I'm not old enough to be that either. So I had to wait around a long time.
Now, could you see any of your co-stars from Mad Men playing any of these characters?
I think Lizzie would probably be like the Taylor Momsen girl, but I think like Christina for sure could be one of them.
Yeah.
And then maybe like Jess Perret. I don't know. It would be weird. Like, you'd have to have like Vinny in there somewhere. I don't know. Cause we're all so much older. It'd be funny like to do like a 40-year-old version of Gossip Girl with all like 40-year-olds. Which could also just be called My Life.
Do you see any parallels though, between the characters in this world and the adult stuff that was happening on Mad Men around the same time or not?
I don't know. I mean, this show's pretty heightened. I mean, it's, you know, it's wall-to-wall soundtrack, and it's like, it's shot in a very kind of glossy way and in a beautiful way, and obviously a very successfully tantalizing way. So I think that the values there are a little bit different from the ones that we celebrated on our show. There's definitely some common DNA in the sort of drinking to excess and making poor choices. It's just that we show people in their 30s and 40s doing it, not people in their teens.
Yeah, they climb a staircase and nobody throws up.
Exactly. Yeah, they're in better shape.
So are you ready to now find out how this all resolves six seasons later?
I am fully ready. This is the best way to do this.
Okay, so let's go and watch New York, I Love You, the series finale of
Gossip Girl. Was the pilot just called Pilot?
I believe it was just called Pilot.
And this is the final episode. Episode, what, 13 of season 6?
It's only 10 episodes for some reason.
Oh, God.
I guess they slashed the budget at the end.
Lucky dogs. Episode 10, season 6. Episode 610.
Yes.
New York, I Love You.
Where is she being? And who am I? That's not a secret I'll never tell. You know you love me. XOXO. Gossip Girl.
Now, are they still in high school or in college now?
Yes, they're in college or in some cases past college.
Gotcha.
Accused his father of trying to kill him.
I don't know anything about
that. Oh, so that's a development.
Yes. You?
She's not talking to you. She's a minor.
Why do you have a minor in a prom dress in your... in your apartment?
It's a long story.
Everything. Are they in the red room?
I think it's where he's writing his book.
Twin Peaks crossover.
Yep.
This is the ninth grade party mentioned in the pilot?
I believe so, yes.
Everybody's drinking.
Everybody's drinking, and Dan has like a wall of chest hair.
Okay, well.
Because that's when I saw you. I'd seen you before at school.
They shot it with a gauzy filter, so that means it's a flashback.
What are you doing standing there all by yourself? Don't you ever go to parties?
William.
That's a new person.
Yes.
Ivy, right?
And that's a Baldwin.
Yes. Can you tell me which Baldwin it is?
I want to say Billy.
It is Billy.
And come on, it's not like Chuck didn't do his fair share of terrible things to you.
Ancient history, and besides, Chuck is one.
This is their second wedding.
Yes.
Years of trying,
also, the second time Bart died.
Oh.
After all this
well,
time.
I got that.
He's friends with our friends, we both dated him.
Are we meant to recognize these people from the show?
Yes, these are characters from intervening seasons.
And I have the biggest news ever.
Nina! Come on, Belle, can you just try a little harder?
I'm sorry. If I'm being really honest, Rachel, I don't think you can pull off high school anymore.
If I wasn't born into this world, maybe I could write myself into it. I might have been a joke, but at least people were talking about me.
The one I felt stupid about was graduation when I asked Gossip Girl to meet me and then Dan showed
That's
up.
A pretty big hint.
You may be rid of Dan Humphrey, but you'll never be rid of me. There will always be someone on the outside wanting to get in. Who am I now? That's one secret I'll never tell. XOXO, Gossip Girl.
And that was Gossip
the
Girl.
The rare double wedding finale.
Yes.
That's impressive. That's more. It's better than one wedding.
Certainly, two is always better than one.
I feel like I wasn't too off base.
Apple Cash is an easy, convenient, and secure way to pay your friends because it's already built into your iPhone and lives within Messages. It all happens right in the chat. Then you can spend that money right away with Apple Pay. See? Easy peasy and way more private than pay apps. Apple Cash. Find it in your messages today. Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
Canva presents stories to keep you up at night. It was an ordinary work day until...
The Singapore presentation is at
3 a.m.
The office was shocked.
That's when we sleep.
Maya made it less scary with Canva.
I'll just record my presentation so Singapore can watch it anytime.
Record and present anytime with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
Listen closely. As a master painter carefully brushes Benjamin Moore Regal Select down the seam of the wall. It's like poetry in motion. Benjamin Moore, see the love.
Your knowledge of how television works served you well. You suggested at some point Chuck would do something nice. Now he is the romantic hero of the show.
Sort of the romantic hero. He has a kid.
Yes. The sexual assaults, long forgotten.
As I believe Blair said, ancient history.
Oh, boy.
All right, so but before we get into anything else, for the benefit of the people who didn't just watch the episode, what are the two or three biggest things that happened here in the finale?
Well, I don't know if it happened in the finale or if it happened at the end of the previous episode, but the patriarch was pushed over the side of a building, killed not necessarily by Chuck, but he was an incidental conduct of some sort, and Blair was on the roof when it happened, so she was the only witness because there were no cameras because... Bartholomew Bass?
Barch Bass, yeah.
Good name. Turned off the cameras. Anyways, dead bass. Escape. What do we do? Uncle Jack comes to the rescue, played by one Desmond Harrington, who starred opposite me in We Were Soldiers Once and Young in 2001, I should say. And playing Uncle Jack, the fixer of sorts. He comes in and makes problems disappear.
Yeah.
Which I gather is Michelle Trachtenberg's job as well. Blair's side of things?
She is Georgina Sparks, and she is actually a villain from the middle of the series who, I guess, reforms by the
end. She comes around to help our couple in need. So they have to go on the lam. It's decided that if they get married, that they will not have to testify on each other's behalf or will not be compelled to testify what they know. So they do. They try to go get married in the courthouse in some place upstate. Doesn't work. They then pivot off of that. And have to go to get married in Central Park. They're going to do it. They're going to make it happen. Now, during this time, Dan is downloading to Serena basically all of what he's been doing over the past few years. He's writing this expose, I guess, about their time in school or their relationship or something. And it concludes with, I guess, the hot goss of who is Gossip Girl.
And who is Gossip Girl?
And it turns out it is, in fact, Dan himself. The huge reveal, the gender swapped, it's Gossip Boy. And he did it as a way to be talked about. I guess the message of the show is that it's better to be talked about rather than not talked about.
Yes.
Which is a curious message to implant in the heads of the 14-year-olds that are digging the show, but I think it was well intentioned. I hope anyway, not the kind of. Although, look, this is what we have now. It's like they're the Gossip Gang are the first influencers, I suppose.
Yeah.
And now they have a platform upon which to do what they can.
So there were a bunch of new characters here. Do you have any idea who they were?
Well, I figured that Georgina Sparks, just because of the name, was kind of on the bad side of things.
Yeah.
And then Jack Bass, the fixer, could tell just because of Dez's portrayal that he was sort of a nefarious character. Then the Wally Shawn, Dorinda, was that that wasn't Blair's mom?
It is. They recast Blair's mom after the pilot with Margaret Collins.
Okay. Well, I would thought maybe that she died and this was Aunt Lady. So no, I kind of got who those guys were. The weird parts for me were the wife swapping that happened between episode one and now. The Billy Baldwin character, the impossible to know Ivy.
Yes.
Dickens.
Yes, we'll get into Ivy. She's
Ivy Dickens' character, didn't understand that. And then the relationship between Serena's mom and Billy Baldwin, didn't understand. And realized that, oh, I guess Serena's mom married Chuck's dad also. So that was very complicated, but it's pretty spelled out for you. Yeah. It's right there.
Serena's mom, she marries Chuck's dad. Chuck's dad then fakes his death. At that point, she finally marries Rufus. They get together briefly. Bart returns from the dead. She leaves Rufus, remarries Bart until he dies for real a second time, and then eventually winds up back with Serena and Eric's actual father.
Yeah, okay, so that's their bio dad.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay, so how did you feel about Dan being Gossip Girl?
I thought it kind of tracked more than anyone else. There's obviously, whenever you have this sort of omniscient person, there's going to be points in the story where you're like, well, how does that person know what's going on? Which I guess can be pretty easily explained away, like they were saying. It was kind of a nice bit of exposition toward the end. Like, well, by that point, he had built up his network all the way to, like, he had so many people. And you're like, I guess so. So yeah, no, I think it worked for the story. I don't think any other character would have really worked. Although I'm sure you could have written around any of them, but I like that they chose that guy.
Would it surprise you to know that he was not originally planned to be Gossip Girl?
That's what I mean. I'm sure the room had four, you know, kind of choose your own adventures of who was going to be it.
The original plan, I believe, was it was going to be Serena's little brother, Eric. And then eventually too many people in the audience started assuming it was Eric.
Picked it out.
So they said, we can't do that. We've got to go in another direction. Then they thought it would be Nate because they realized, as he says in the finale, that he has never sent a tip into Gossip Girl. So that kind of makes sense.
Uh-huh.
And eventually Stephanie Savage, the co-creator of the show, came back and she decided it would be Dan. But the problem is there's a bunch of inconsistencies with that over the run of the show.
Sure. I'm assuming that there's got to be, especially when that's your third choice. But also the funniest thing was I should have known when I said to come, told Gossip Girl to come meet me and you showed up.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a big hint.
So among other things, he often seems surprised to be reading Gossip Girl scoops while alone.
Right.
Not just when he's, you know, trying to put on a show with other people. He spreads terrible news about his little sister Jenny, not just...
Yeah, that was a thing, and then quickly wiped over by the fact of, like, you know, her leaving was the best thing that ever happened to her. Wink.
He exposes, among other things, that she was a drug dealer.
Oh, that's not cool. But in this episode, his statement was that he only exposed things that she wanted him to do.
Yes.
And if there was ever anything she could have said to him... Yeah, maybe don't rat me out to the NYPD.
Yes. Let's see. There are times when he physically could not be posting, like at Blair's first wedding, which we'll talk about.
Right.
He is in the wedding party up there at the pulpit with everybody else while Gossip Girl sends out a blast.
And he's doing it with one hand?
No, his hands are visible.
Oh, no.
Yes. So this was definitely one where you kind of have to close your eyes and not think too closely. It. All right, so I want to talk about Chuck, because I was definitely impressed when you were speculating, you know, based on your knowledge of how TV works, that at some point Chuck was going to have some kind of a face
redemption
turn.
Yeah, of course.
So how do you feel about that, given what we saw of him in the pilot?
I mean, you can't go much more of a heel than he was in the pilot, so he has to there has to be some kind of redemption, otherwise it's just banging on the same piano key the whole time, clearly. Yeah. The interesting thing about it was he played it kind of the same way, so he still had that kind of snivelly sneer, out of breath kind of affect that he was playing the whole way of the show. That never changed. It just, everyone kind of was like, oh, this is Chuck. Like, he just kind of talks like a bad guy.
Yeah.
It was kind of interesting to see that he was accepted by the community or by the narrative as this sort of relatively heroic person, even though every time he opened his mouth, you're kind of like, I don't trust that guy. It does feel weird for a show to ostensibly be kind of so female-centric or female-oriented or about the kind of girl power of it all, even though it's a little twisted, to actually have the men really in the show, the boys in the show, really kind of manipulate the girls so much, at least from what I've seen. There just seems so much back and forth, including the reveal that the actual master manipulator is, in fact, a man.
So as part of that, as Dan is telling Serena the story in the finale, we get this flashback to the ninth grade party.
Yeah, the weird, again, wildly inappropriate alcohol-induced ninth grade party. I don't think I would had certainly not martinis.
Yeah, Serena's drunk on champagne.
Yeah, it's all through too much champagne in ninth grade. Okay.
In a very gauzy filter so that we know that they're supposed to be ninth graders, even though he's...
Supposed to be the 90s.
Yes, he's got a forest of chest hair.
I guess early 2000s.
Yeah.
Well, it is interesting, too, like, you know, you watch... What did you say? The first episode aired in...
2007.
So this must be the last one, 2013, 2014, yes. Unless they took a longer hiatus. You know, that's like your face and your body and your hair and everything kind of changes over the time. And then you try to do a flashback and you see the guy and he's just got, a full clump of chest hair, even though they did shave his head again. I don't think that was a wig.
All right. So at one point, right before we find out for sure that Dan is Gossip Girl, even though they kind of basically tell you before
they kind of hint it, right.
We get a random scene with Kristen Bell herself as herself with Rachel Bilson.
They're buds, and they're working on an audition for this new show written by this hot young downtown Brooklyn writer, Dan Humphreys.
Yes.
But yeah, that whole montage was very strange of like the people kind of seeing the reveal in real time. The Bloomberg thing was very odd.
Yes.
And then I didn't recognize any of the other people I'm sure I'm supposed to recognize from the show.
That brings me to the next part, which is you obviously missed a lot because we only watched the first and the last episode. So I'm now going to give you a multiple choice quiz on some things that happened in between.
Good Lord. Okay.
John, you're a smart man. You were way ahead of this show in a lot of ways. So let's see if you can figure some of this out. Okay. All right. Why did Serena really leave New York? Was it A, because she slept with Nate? B, because she had to go to rehab to kick a diet pill addiction? C, because she was involved with a man's drug overdose? Or D, because she fell madly in love with Georgina Sparks?
See, my original thought was that she had gotten pregnant and had to go away because she would be showing or whatever, and there's no such thing as abortion on television since Maude. I'm going to say A.
You're going to say A because she slept with Nate. Well, we have a clip that will provide our answer.
I killed someone.
Oh, it was C.
Yep.
Dang. Smash cut. There you go.
Yep.
Okay. Well, that's a reason to leave.
Yes. And also, they reunite much earlier in the series.
So, yes, they're already fast friends back by episode 7.
Yes.
At least.
Yes, they put that on the table very quickly. All right, so there are several allusions in the finale to a big car accident involving Chuck and Blair that Gossip Girl shuts down the site over.
Oh, right, yes.
Okay, so what causes this car accident? A, sabotage by Bart. B, icy roads. C, Chuck's secret dyslexia causing him to misread the street signs. Or D, the paparazzi were in hot pursuit of their car.
Oh, man. D.
Paparazzi, they went with the Princess Di.
I got one right.
Why was Jenny banished from New York at the end of season 3? A, because she slept with Chuck. B, because she got in trouble for dealing drugs. C, because her nascent fashion line had a sweatshop scandal. Or D, because new mother-in-law Lily took an irrational dislike to her.
Well, it was the best thing that ever happened to her. So I'm going to say D.
Nope, slept with Chuck.
Damn.
And Blair says you can't live in New York anymore as a result.
Oh, well, she makes a good point. But that's a weird choice for the writer's room to have her go back to that well, so to speak.
Yeah, no, and you were right, by the way. She does sort of become a master manipulator herself and sort of briefly becomes Queen Bee.
Yep.
So you called that, John Hamm. All right. You were confused about Ivy, and you were right to be confused. So,
oh, Ivy.
Ivy Dickens, the one who tries talking to Billy Baldwin.
The little Dickens.
Okay. Is she A, Lily's cousin on her mother's side? B, a con woman who once posed as Lily's cousin on her mother's side? C, an escaped mental patient with delusions of being part of the Upper East Side elite? Or D, Nate Archibald's secret birth mother?
Well, Lily would have recognized her if she was related to her Mamie, right? Because don't they, or do they both act like they don't?
No, William acts like he doesn't know her. Lily knows her.
Yeah, then I'll say she's the relative that she doesn't like from Florida, from like her shitty past.
Close. She is the con woman who posed as the relative.
Fakes it. The fake relative.
So they introduce her first as a character named, I think, Charlie. It's confusing because Charlie is also named Lola. But so she's introduced as Charlie, and then in a very soap opera fashion, at a certain point, they say, no, she's an imposter, and here's the real Charlie/Lola, who is one of the people you then see in the montage reacting to the news that Dan is Gossip Girl.
Oh.
Okay. All right, so you were confused about the underage woman who was with Nate when the police come to question him. All right, so that is Sage.
You're not going to talk to her. She's a minor. That was a very weird line.
All right, so is she A, Nate's girlfriend, B, the new queen bee at the prep school, C, the daughter of a man Serena dated in the final season, or D, all of the above?
I'll say all of the above.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, if you're gonna go for all of them, that's this show tends to, it feels like goes for all of them.
Yep. All right, and the final one. So in the finale, we have the cameos by Kristen Bell, by Rachel Bilson, by Mike Bloomberg. The show featured a lot of cameos over the years. Which of these did not cameo as themselves in the run of the series? Okay, A, director David O. Russell. B, Twilight stars Kristen Stewart and Robert Pattinson. C, Lady Gaga. Or D, Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner.
I would say A.
David O. Russell played himself. He gave Serena a job as a PA.
What a terrible job.
Yeah, she goes out to L.A. at the end of, I think, season 3 or season 4, and she runs into David O. Russell.
So were the Twilight kids just too big?
The Twilight kids were just too big. They're the only ones. Yeah, Rufus and Lily, while they're together, go out one time with Jared and Ivanka.
Yeah. Oh, so thirsty. So deliciously thirsty.
You know, John Hamm did pretty well for never having seen most of this show before. Let's see how you can do with some help from my Google assistant. The wedding in the finale isn't actually the first time Blair got married on the show, and in fact, her first husband was a literal prince. What was his name? Was it A, Louis Grimaldi of Monaco, B, Marcus Beaton of England, or C, Furio Giunta of Naples? Think you know? Let's find out. Hey Google, what prince was on Gossip Girl?
According to Wikipedia, Prince of Monaco, Louis Grimaldi, made his Hollywood debut in 2010 in the CW drama Gossip Girl.
Yep, that was A, Louis Grimaldi of Monaco. If the name Furio Giunta sounds familiar, I put in a ringer there. He was one of Tony's enforcers on The Sopranos. And now, let's go back to our friendly neighborhood John Hamm for more on Gossip Girl.
All right, so you've now experienced the show in an unusual way. You've only seen the first episode and the last, and I filled in some of the blanks for you. Do you feel like you've gotten the full experience?
I do. I really do. I feel like it's very interesting to see a show that's kind of held up from a production standpoint in the sense of it doesn't feel like of another era.
Yeah.
The music's relatively familiar, and the pacing is relatively familiar, and other than a few like weird kind of writing moments and casting moments, you're pretty much like, okay, like I get it. This is a CW show.
Yeah.
That world has moved on to superheroes now.
Yes.
But these were essentially the superheroes of 2007. The Strivers and the Upper East Side society. So I could see that being very kind of, I feel like I got that version of it. Again, I feel like there's no world in which this is appealing to me, but
that's okay.
But that's why there's chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry and all 31 flavors. I could super get why this was such a hit, because it's so kind of perfectly crafted for that demographic.
Yeah.
Down at a high level, I mean, there's no denying it. Like, Chuck Bass is a good bad guy, and Serena and Blair are two good leads, you know? It's got that through line of who is Gossip Girl, which is like, who shot JR, man? That's what you want. You want that kind of cliffhangery thing to get people to keep tuning in.
So you did really well in terms of guessing where the show was going to go, because again, you understand this stuff a lot more than a lot of people in your profession. But the one thing that I think was different from your initial speculation was the idea of Blair and Serena feuding for most of the run of the show.
Right.
Do you like that idea that you had in your head better than the idea that they're mostly just friends the whole time?
Well, I think it just probably plays a lot truer that they become friends much faster than I would have had them, because that's sort of the nature of teenage girls, is that it's like weather in London, that the storms move through, and then it's a sunny day and the next day, and then the storms move through. And I think the show does a really good job of supporting that. So that's probably the better way to do it. Otherwise, you've set up camp on both sides and you just have a polarized narrative. And I think that gets a little boring. So I'm sure that they've gone through, over the course of 6 seasons, that they went through times where they were super feuding and then making all back up. And it was an interesting thing watching in the finale when she's kind of delivering the speech where she's like, I belong here with my friends. You're my family. It's like, I didn't watch the ensuing 90 some odd episodes, but I was like, that's a stretch.
Well, John, thank you for coming in and watching Gossip Girl with us.
On my birthday. What a great present.
What better way to spend your birthday than watching 2 episodes of Gossip Girl with nothing in between?
It's raining outside, so why not be inside watching television?
All right. Well, obviously, we have to thank John Hamm for being our guest, and thank you for tuning into Rolling Stone and OBB Sounds Too Long Didn't Watch, presented by Google Assistant XOXO, Alan Sepinwall.
Thanks again for listening. If you enjoyed the foolishness you just heard, we'd like to ask you to do the same things that all podcasts ask you for. Please like, subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcasting platform, and please spread the word to anyone else you know who might enjoy it too. This has been OBB Sound and Rolling Stone's Too Long Didn't Watch, brought to you by Google Assistant and hosted by me, Alan Sepinwall. Executive produced by Michael D. Ratner, Scott Ratner, Elias Tanner, and Alyssa Walker of OBB Sound, a division of OBB Media, and Gus Winter of Rolling Stone. Co-executive produced by Arlen Konopacki and Grace Delia of OBB Sound, and Bridget Chelsea and Maria Fontora of Rolling Stone. The production was engineered by Evan Menick and Daniel Wanacott, edited, mixed, and mastered by Michael Capuano, sound designed by Michael Capuano, original music by Daniel Wanacott. Production assistants were Jennifer Spotts and Raquel Dominguez.